appreciate your prayers this morning. I'd like to think about the thought of rest today. And I'd like to start the thought with a scripture in Hebrews. Seventh verse says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Faith is a very important part of this subject. Scripture says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We've got to have faith and believe in Him. But it's more than a faith where we say, I believe. This is a faith that has to cause action in our lives. It alters our lives. We do things differently because we believe. Changes who we are, how we do things, those kind of things. Abraham drew the knife back because of faith. Moses refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter because of faith. That was life-changing things that faith brought into their life. Can you imagine refusing to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter? I mean, he went from extreme places. Noah spent a good section of his life building an ark where there was no water. That's major things. This isn't having a hobby. Noah didn't have a hobby of building boats. This was life changing to him with the energy effort that he'd done to do it. Faith is a very important part of this idea of having rest. If the Lord was to come to you today and say, I want to challenge you to a higher level in your life, How would you think about that? I know what I would think about it. I would think, first of all, who wouldn't want to go to a higher level? And at about the same time, I would think, what does it cost me? What, Lord, I mean, am I afraid of that? Lord, what are you saying here to me? I'm kind of in my comfort zone. I went along, and I like the way life is, and I love serving God, and things are going along pretty good. What does this mean about another level, another place? What's it really going to cost me? So I want to leave with you today a challenge. I believe it's from the Lord. A challenge about entering into his rest. There was a story about faith about a little boy. The community around, they needed rain real bad, so the community got together and decided that a Saturday morning they was all going to gather together and they was going to petition the Lord for rain. Well, this little boy that's going to there gets his umbrella. And the story was told as an act of faith. What's he doing with the umbrella? We're going to pray for rain. Well, it's an act of faith, but to be honest with you, the only outcome of the faith is when the rain comes, as everybody else gets wet and you're dry. It's not an overwhelming idea. It's a good one. It's having faith And without faith, it's impossible to please God and to gain from, we need to have faith from God. But God wants to take us into another level of faith in God to where I can rest if it don't rain. See, because what happens if it don't rain? How am I going to water my herd? If it doesn't rain, I'm going to lose. I planted a crop. We got to beg God for rain because we can't make it without rain. Oh, yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. I'm going to challenge you to another step in this. There's another step in God to where we can rest on God's credentials. God don't need to send rain to take care of you. I don't know why God does everything he does, and I never will. But I know this, that God is dependable, and God can take care of things in our lives and do things for us that we can't do for ourselves. I know that we can trust in the Lord, and the Lord wants us to trust in him, and he wants us to take another step and quit just having a place in our lives to where I can praise God because he sent me a check. Well, thank God he did this. Thank God that when we needed the rain, he opened up the clouds. You know, I think the Lord wants us to thank God whether he has clouds or not. But because he is. You know, God will always perform for us. Well, here this scripture that we read was in, the scripture says, the day of provocation, where the children of Israel, after all that the Lord did for them, the Lord showed them many, many, many miracles, which proves to me that many, many, many miracles don't get us to this place. We never got them there. The idea of this is whatever they experienced here, the warning was this: as they went, so can you. They was shown miracle after miracle after miracle. Their prayers was answered. They was delivered out of Egypt. They was with a mighty hand. God showed plagues and showed these things and showed the people, I am God above gods. None of these gods can withstand me, for they're nothing. But he owns, God showed them that he owns the sky. He owns the hail. He owns the rain. He owns the rivers. He owns the insects. He owns the frogs. God owns the cattle. Ultimately, he showed them, I own death. All of these things God showed them, delivered them out of Egypt by a mighty hand, defending them against Pharaoh. And Pharaoh and his men drowns in the sea, and the children of Israel go out. You would think that they would be set forever. No, they wasn't set forever. They was set for a moment, maybe, but it don't go for very far. I wonder if we was to start recounting the miracles that this congregation has experienced, and as individuals, the things that God has done for us, which might be good to do sometime. It's good to remember. But if we was to start telling these stories, it'd be a long time here. God has done a lot of things. Does it matter for tomorrow? I mean, really, do you really grab a hold of those for tomorrow? Most of the time, no. Tomorrow is a new day. I need something new for today. God is inviting us into an experience to where we can learn to rest in all of these things. Now, the definition of rest, Webster's dictionary, in the first definition has something to do with the idea of you've worked and you stop, and even sleep. That's the rest. The second definition, Webster's dictionary, is a freedom from worry, trouble, and pain. Well, I'll take that, but I just don't think that there is a freedom from worry, trouble, and pain. I wish I could believe that there was a freedom from worry, trouble, and pain, but I think there is always going to be trouble and pain. There's always going to be things. It's not the freedom from the actuality that it's there. It's the freedom from the stress that it brings. It's the freedom from what it does.
We can still rest as human beings. We can rest in God in the circumstances that we're in. I think worry, we're not supposed to. The Bible teaches us that. To take no anxious thought for tomorrow. But rest in God. Allow God to work in your lives. As you all, most of you know, my dad had a spell with his heart a couple weeks ago. He was rushed to Elkins Hospital. From there, he was life flighted to Morgantown, up to Ruby. And there, they started doing some stuff with his heart. They put some stents in. Everything went really well. And after that, he started having some reverses. Some complications started setting in. My dad will be 86, the 27th of May. And so things wasn't working for him. Over the last years of my life, and as you all probably recognize here, I've had a real concern for my dad. He's getting older, and I want to see him make heaven. And so I've put in prayer requests a lot here and different places we go for my dad, that the Lord would deal with him and help him. And I had a burden myself, and I kept wanting to be able to talk to him. I wanted to see it right with his soul. I wanted to be able to talk to him. And I just couldn't quite get it done. I wanted to do it. I wanted to have that opportunity to do it, but I couldn't make the opportunity. I kept giving space for the opportunity to happen. I kept wanting the situation to happen. I kept saying words to try to make it happen, but I couldn't make it happen. I wish that I was better at this. Resting in God, because what I could never do, God did. I kept laboring. I kept anxious of mind. I worried about it. I've done all of these things. I prayed. I hoped, but I could never make it happen. What I really wanted to happen. Well, in the process, when after Dad got out, I talked to him, and he told me. I asked him if he was praying. He said, "I've been praying a lot. Praying and praying. I've been repenting. I've been praying. I've been asking the Lord to forgive me. I've been praying." And I asked him, I said, "Are you saved? Dad, have the Lord forgive you? You feel like you're saved?" And he said, he wouldn't tell me that. And I ended up saying to him, I said, "Dad, you need to pray till you know, till you can really have that testimony." And he said, "Well, I've got some praying to do." And that was earlier back in the experience. And then he finally expressed to me, he said, I feel like I prayed and asked the Lord to forgive me, and I feel like the Lord has, and that. So I was up to visit him on Wednesday. His bowels had failed, his kidneys had failed, his lungs was filling up. He, for all practical purposes, looked like he was leaving this world. And I want to testify to you, I had a horrible day. I had a horrible day because my dad's spirit was restless. He was striving. He was striving with people. He was striving. He testified that the Lord had forgiven him. I was thankful to that. I rejoiced in that. But I was up there, and they had him all wired up. He wasn't feeling well. He was irritable and all these things. And I'm going to be honest with you, it was horrible. The sight of my dad in that kind of position, in that kind of place, it was inhuman. It was awful. Just plain and simple, it was awful. Well, I left that day not feeling well about things. The next day, my sister went up and visited him. I talked to her afterwards. My sister had a horrible day with Dad. She came away emotional and crying. Dad was emotional. Dad was what she could do with him. He had regained some senses, and my sister testified to me it was horrible. I'm telling this to the glory of God. God is so good. On Friday, I had debated whether I was going to go up on Friday or I was going to wait till Saturday, and I'd kind of made the decision I was going to wait till Saturday, and the Lord started talking with me, and I felt the impression that the Lord wanted me to go up and tell my dad to rest. Go up and tell him to rest. And so I called Marty, and he immediately said, "Well," my wife said, "well, won't you ask Marty if he'll go up?" And so I called him, and I said, "You want to go to Morgantown?" He said, "Sure." And so that was another testimony. I felt like the Lord witnessed to me. And so the Lord
We went up to, and I went in to visit Dad. And that ICU area, all the time that we'd been up there, was a rat race. People going, noise. The rooms are noisy, nurses everywhere, doctors everywhere. And I walk in there and walk down the hall, and there's nobody anywhere. Nobody in the halls. I see people in the rooms. There wasn't many people there. I walk down and go into Dad's room. Everything was just peaceful and quiet. And I walked into Dad, and I walked over to Dad. And the first thing I could tell that he wasn't quite there. He looks up at me and said, "You look like a Clevenger." And I said, "Yeah, I'm a Clevenger." I think that was a legitimate. I don't think he was quite there. And any of you that know my dad very well, I get it from him, but my dad almost can't hear. And the Lord made it till Dad could hear perfectly. The rooms was completely quiet, peaceful. My dad could hear me. It was amazing. His mind cleared, his hearing cleared, and he started telling me this stuff, and I said, "Dad, just rest." I said, "The Lord has forgiven you. You've got something to be thankful for." I said, "Time, it doesn't matter now. Just rest in the Lord. Just rest in God and what He's done." Well, my dad kind of laid his eyes back, kind of head back and kind of nodded. And then we talked a little bit, and he started complaining about stuff. And I said, "Dad," he's talking about the doctors didn't do this, the doctors did that. I said, "Dad, doctors ain't failed you. Nurses ain't failed you. Your family didn't fail you. Your body's failing you, Dad." I said, "You look down on Grandpa. I'm looking down on you. Won't be long till Marty will be looking down on me. It's the way it is." I said, "Dad, you've come to a point and place. Just rest." I said, "Commit this all to God and just rest." And he did again. He kind of just nodded and acknowledged, "You're right. You're right." Four times I had to remind him, "Dad, it don't matter now. God has saved you. Do you realize that you almost died 2 weeks ago? You almost died, and God gave you this space and brought you to this place. Just thank God and rest." And you know what? I had the best hour and a half of years of worrying was brought down by God, to an hour and a half of the best conversation that I've had in years with my dad. He got so loose that at one point I said, "Dad, do you remember how I used to beat you at horseshoes?" And he come about halfway up in that bed and said, "When I get out of here, I'm going to beat the pants off of you." And I'm going to tell you, we smiled and we laughed and we had the best hour and a half that I could ever imagine. And I worried for years about that. I struggled for years about that and never could bring it to pass. And God brought it to pass in just a little bit. And it got to the place after all those days of fighting and wrestling that my dad told me, he said, "Marty, I am so thankful that you come up here and talked to me." Said, "I needed that so bad." And I said, "Dad," I said the words, "but God sent the message. God's accepted you, and He wants you to rest. Just rest. It doesn't matter now. It's done. You're okay. You're okay, Dad. You're okay. This doesn't matter anymore." There's a level. There's a different level. There's a place that God wants us to enter in to the rest that He has for us. God has a rest. We don't enter in because of unbelief. Do you know we struggle because we think we can do it? I thought I was responsible for doing it. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm His son. I'm a minister. I'm this. I'm responsible for somehow making this thing happen. I wore myself out with it. My mind just wore out with me trying to save my dad. Then other than going to a higher place of resting
in the one that loves him more. The one that can make it happen and do those things. So I want to encourage us that there's a place in our life. So often, yeah, we plant the crops, but we can't bring the rain. And then we'll say, if it don't rain, I'm done. No, you're not. No, you're not done. If it don't rain, you're not done. God has a reason for not to rain. God has a reason for everything. And there's a higher place. There's a place of living to where we are free from worry. We're free from the strife. We're free from the pain. And so all those things will be there, but we're free from the power that they have because we have a faith in God. God promised the children of Israel a place of peace and rest. Over here it is, I'm going to bring you through this place, and after all that he'd done to prove to them that he was God enough to give them this place, they still had an evil heart of unbelief. They only looked, there's another scripture, it's in 2 Corinthians 5:7, where Paul says that we walk by faith and not by sight. And how often we look at the surroundings, we look at the circumstances, and we're never quite willing to go any farther than that and really have faith in God. And God is calling us to a place of rest in our lives. And I think that one of the most powerful testimonies that we fail to present to the world is a people that really believe. A people that can rest in the situations of their life because they live for a God that's created the universe. A God that's able to take care of all the problems. And it's our failure to do it. Are we willing to take what the Lord's handing us? You don't have to do anything for it. God's handing it to us. This is what I want you to rest in me. I started doing Facebook, and I got some friends from my school days, and one of my school day friends had a post, and it was a story, and it goes like this. It was a professor in a Bible college, and he had a student in his class who was a very athletic young man. I'll call his name Cliff. I don't remember. I think that's what it was. Cliff, and he was a football player, and he was very athletic, and the professor comes to him and asks him, how many push-ups can you do? And he said, I do about 200 continuous push-ups every night. And he said, can you do 300? And he said, I don't know. And he said, now I need to answer. Do you think you can do 300 push-ups 10 at a time? And he said, yeah, I think if I'd done them in series of 10 that I could do that. And he said, so he told him what he was going to do and asked him if he would do it, and he said yes, he would. So the next day in the class, he come in the class and he brought this big box of donuts into the class, and he brought them in, and everybody was looking at the donuts, and there was quite an assortment of donuts. And so he goes to the first, it was a girl in the class, and said, would you like to have a donut? And she said, I'd love a donut. And he says to Cliff, would you be willing to do 10 push-ups to buy her a donut? And Cliff says, well, I'd be glad to do 10 push-ups to buy her a donut. So he gets down and he does 10 push-ups, and he gives her a donut. He goes to the next one, would you like to have a donut? And he said, well, I'd love to have a donut. Cliff, would you buy them a donut with 10 push-ups? Well, I'd gladly buy them a donut with 10 push-ups. Done it. Well, after a while, it got ongoing. People was accepting the donuts pretty freely, but they noticed that Cliff was doing a lot of work for their donuts. And so finally, the girls said, no, I don't want a donut. And the professor says, Cliff, would you be willing to buy her a donut that she doesn't want? And Cliff said, I'd be glad to buy her a donut that she doesn't want. And he got down and did 10 push-ups, and he gave her a donut. You don't have to eat the donut, but Cliff bought it for you. And he went on in the class, finally got to a guy that was another guy, says, do you want a donut? And he says, I can do push-ups too. He said, let me do push-ups for my own donut. your push-ups won't buy donuts here. It takes Cliff the push-ups to buy donuts. He said, I don't want one then. And he said, Cliff, would you do 10 push-ups to buy this guy a donut that he don't want? And he said, I'd be glad to. And he done it, and he kept doing it, and it kept getting harder. About, there was 30, I think there was 35 people in the class that day, so that was getting up to 350 push-ups that he was done, and he got to sweating, and he barely was getting them done. And finally, after he thought he had done them all, there was another student that walked into the class about that time, and everybody in the class was, by that time, was getting angry and telling them to get out of it. No, don't come in, don't come in. And well, he walked in anyway and said, the professor said, would you like to have a donut? And he said, I'd love a donut. Cliff, can you do 10 more for this guy? Well, I sure try. And he got down there and just all he could do. It was all he could do. Put all the effort in. And finally, when he done the last one, he collapsed and they all helped him up and got him up out of there. Now, you all surely know the moral to the story. You don't have to eat the donut, but it's been bought. Leave it there on your desk, the professor says. You can leave it on your desk. You can throw it in the trash. But the donut, how foolish would it be not to eat the donut? Cliff sure put out a lot of work to buy that donut for you. That's what the Lord did. And some people gladly take the donut, and other people won't take the donut. Some people want to buy their own donut. Some people want to do it their own way. Some want to refuse it. Well, he used that as an illustration of salvation. But I think the illustration goes here too. There's another step of resting in God. There's another place. There's a level. I don't know what all it takes to get there. I'm not going to testify that I'm there all the time, that I stay in a place like that. But I will say this. There's a place to rest in God. And I'm so thankful instead of Wednesday's scene in my mind. I had Wednesday's scene seared into my mind, thinking the last thing I would ever see of my dad was this horrible picture and scene, an emotional scene of my dad. And now seared in there is this peaceful scene of my dad. Laughing again and smiling and thanking God for what he done for him. I'm going to tell you, I don't know that there could have been a happier person in Morgantown Friday evening. I'm almost sure there wasn't. I come out of that hospital just like, I didn't know whether or not to take the elevator or just go ahead and float down. I was so, God did something and planned a scene and a situation that I wanted for years and couldn't make, and the God was able to do it. So we can rest our case. We can give our case to the Lord, no matter what it is. We don't know what we might face in life, but we can look at what people have faced in life. The Daniels, who was thrown into the lion's den, but didn't seem to be the same as normal people are. Because there was a God. Because he was resting in a God. It was like you can't hardly stir him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stand before the king to be sentenced, basically, to see what his wrath could do. And they say, oh, king, we're not careful in answering you in this matter. Because you can't hurt us. You can't bother us. Our God is able to do this. We look at the circumstances. We get nervous. All these things happen in life. But to the Christian, to those that put their faith in God, there's another level there. He's inviting us. This scripture says that because of unbelief, many never ever entered into his rest. They never got to that place that they were supposed to get to because of their evil heart of unbelief. They just couldn't believe over that. This warning that was here in this scripture isn't an Old Testament warning. It was an Old Testament scene used to warn us about a New Testament time. Our lives. We can allow things into our lives and we can miss the rest that God wants us to have. We're supposed to cease from our own life. Look, I want a donut. I'll do my own push-ups. You can't get your donut that way. You can do all, you can labor and strive and do all that, and at the end of it, you don't get the donut. You don't get the reward. You just have the next day to do more. You'll have to do more, and you'll have to do more. You'll just have to keep trying to labor yourself through. And we do that, and we don't we? Honestly, don't we? Use our minds to try to solve everything, to do everything. We do just this. We try to get it all in some kind of a line so we'll know how to do it. And how many times does it fail? Over and over, it doesn't work. And the Lord has already said, why don't you just resign? Why don't you just resign? Prayer is a powerful tool. I ain't talking about resigning the burden or resigning the prayer. I'm talking about resigning the results. God, I don't know how to do this. I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to call on you and trust in you and rest in you that you can take care of all of these things in life and I don't have to do them. That it'll all... I just ask you a question. Have you all ever had anything in your life for years that you just labored with and just worried about and thought about and done all these things? I'm going to tell you, why don't you just give it to the Lord? Give whatever it is to the Lord, and He'll know how to take care of all of those things that's there. We don't know how to. I want to end with just a scene from Acts 12. First verse, I think. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of the unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarterions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, now this is the night now, he's going to bring Peter out. He killed James and he was going to do the same to Peter because it pleased the Jews. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. Pretty much says it all. The night they're going to take you out and take your head off, they have to wake you up. They had to wake him up. He's sleeping. Well, that's what they're going to have to do. Peter was sleeping. Why was he sleeping? I can't sleep if the littlest thing stirs my mind. I'll wear it out till daylight sometimes. Just running and running all this stuff. And Peter's in this situation and said he's sleeping. Why? Because he committed it. Because he committed it. No sense in me staying awake. Yeah, I'm sleeping, won't sleep. God, you got it in your hands. That's not a fable. It's not a fable. That's a reality. That's where faith alters life. That's where really believing is different than just saying, I believe. That's what I want to believe. That's what I think. No, that's what I believe. Oh, King, I'm not careful in answering you to this. No, I'm tired. I'm going to go to sleep because I'm going to give this to God. At some time, if God wills, we'll all come to my place where my dad's at, one way or another. And I say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me to commit that time that I can say, behold, come quickly, Lord Jesus. This is beyond us, and let's give it to the Lord. And there is a place, I believe, and the Lord's coming and saying, you want to take another level today? Come on, I'll take you to another level. Well, I don't know, Lord. I don't know what you're going to have to dig around in me for that one, because I'm a worrier, I'm a striver, I'm that.
But I'm going to tell you, I learned a lesson. And by God's grace, I'm going to live by it. God's able. Lord, I'm going to turn this over to you and do it to you, and I'm going to quit worrying about it. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.